It's a very great schus to be able to come to speak to all of you. I would like to thank Rabbi Ginian, Rabbi Avi Ginian, and the Moda Asra Shlita for inviting me to come to speak to all of you. There's a very interesting Gemara in Megillah. The Gemara is in Megillah Chof Tes Amar Aleph. And the Gemara tells us, Asidin Bote Knesiyais O Bote Medroshais Sheva Bovel Sheyikvo Be'eretz Yisrael. All the shuls that were ever built in Bavel, one day they're going to come and they're going to be together in Eretz Yisrael. And the Mashah says something phenomenal. The Mashah says, if you want to imagine how big the Beis HaMikdash is going to be in the time of Mashiach, when Mashiach comes, imagine how big Yerushalayim is today. That's how big the Beis HaMikdash is going to be. Could you imagine Yerushalayim with all the areas, Sanhedrin, Mochevet, Ramat Eshkol, right, Sarotskin, all that whole area, all of it. That's how big the Beis HaMikdash is going to be. And if you want to imagine how big Yerushalayim is going to be, this Mashah in Megillah Choftes says, Yerushalayim is going to be as big as the whole Eretz Yisrael. That's just the city of Yerushalayim. So the Gemara of the Mashah wants to know, how does that happen? So you know how it happens? So he says like this, Lefisha Yerushalayim habnuya la'osid. The Yerushalayim that's going to be built up in the future, Yechur v'lo l'migdash, all the shuls that were ever built in Chutz La'aretz, including Tiferes Yigal, it's all going to be part of the Beis HaMikdash. Yechur v'lo l'migdash yachdov kol mekoyme shabotik nesiyas shahoya bo'elam hazeh. All the shuls, could you imagine all the shuls in Kew Garden Hills and in Brooklyn, all over the place, all going to be together. And not only that, V'nimtza Ata comes out for Golas, when we are in Golas, and we're putting together now a new shul. Sha'ani oimid b'beis ha'knesses harehu mokim ha'migdash gufa de la'osid. What Tiferes Yigal has done has attached itself to the Beis HaMikdash. So every single one of you should feel so proud that you decided now to become part members, a part of the future Beis HaMikdash. That's what a shul is all about. But I want to tell you something else. And that's the beauty, I believe, of this young shul as it starts. Now, of course, in 10 years, when I'm invited again with Hashem to be the guest speaker, at that time we're going to need, you know, Madison Square Garden, we'll need the Felt Forum, because, you know, there's going to be a lot of people. So now it's nice and cozy, you know, just in this place. But you know what the Gemara says about Yerushalayim, Habnuya, the Yerushalayim that's going to be built? Ki'ir shechubra lo yachdav. What does that mean? It's a place. We say it in the Shira Malas, Tilim Kufcha Beis Pasuk Gimel. It's a place, shechubra lo yachdav, that's united together. So the simple meaning is that when they build Yerushalayim, you know, sometimes when you build a city, and then a couple of years later, a new architect comes and he builds another building. And the first building doesn't really match with the second building. But, you know, he went to a different architectural school. So he built this kind of building. And the other guy built that kind of building. So it's kind of awkward. It's all one city, but it doesn't really flow together. But Yerushalayim, when they build it, no matter who adds to it, it's all going to flow together. But Yerushalmi Chagiga says something different. He says, you know what it means? Shechubra lo yachdov? Yerushalayim habnuya, the Yerushalayim that's going to be built, Yirshu Oisek Ho Yisrael Chaverim Chubra comes from the Lashon of Chaver, being together. So if we're now building this shul, that's going to be really as big as Yerushalayim. So in a sense, we have that bracha of Yerushalayim, Isha Chubra Lo Yachtov. It's going to be a city where everybody's together. And if you have a shul where everybody's together, and everybody's building a Mikdash Ma'at, that's great. That's wonderful. That's what Chelek of Beis HaMikdash is all about. That's how Mashiach is able to come. Only when Klal Yisrael is Be'aguda Achas. And so in the numerous times that I spoke to Rabbi Ginian and Rabbi Avi Ginian, when we spoke about this shul, he kept on saying one thing, one united thing, that this is a shul where everybody's together, everybody's friendly, everybody has one Hashkafa, the Rav is the leader, and everybody wants to be together. And that's so beautiful and so important in Klal Yisrael. And it's for that reason that I want to speak tonight about the inyan of unity. What does it mean to have a shul where everybody cares for each other? What does it mean to have a Klal Yisrael where everybody cares for each other? So I want to share with you a fascinating maral. Now, we have said this expression, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad, we've said it 10,000 times in our lives. But watch how he teaches, how he translates the word echad, what he sees in the word echad. Echad, we know, of course, is one, the unity of Hashem. But he says, you know what the Aleph stands for in echad? The Aleph stands for something, the Ches stands for something, and the Dalet stands for something. Now, if you and I thought about it for 40 years, we'd never come up with it. Aleph, he says, is the one. That's the one, the primary one of the Avos. There were three Avos, three patriarchs, Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. Yaakov was considered number one. Why was he considered number one? So the Gemara has an expression, mitasoi shlema. It means that all his children were perfect. After all, Avram tragically had Yishmael. Yitzchak had Esau. But Yaakov, all his children were perfect. All were tzaddikim, all the shift they caught, they were perfect. So Aleph represents that one of the Avos that's extraordinary. What is the Ches? He says the Ches are the eight children that he had with his two wives. We know that he had Rachel and Leah. So the children that he had with Rachel and Leah, let's count them. So he had Reuven, Shimon, Levi, Yehuda, Yisachar, Zebulun, Yosef, and Binyamin. That's Ches. That's eight. The Dalet is the four children that he had with the maidservants. Don, Naphtali, Gad, v'Asher. So Echad. Echad doesn't only mean the unity of one, but Echad means the unity of Klal Yisrael. All of us here tonight, we're Echad. Because in this shul, we have people that come from Levi, obviously you have Kohanim and Levim, but you have those that come from Zvulun, those that come from Don, we don't even know where we come from anymore. But we all come from all the Shvatim. And that's what Klal Yisrael is all about. As a matter of fact, it's interesting. When Yaakov Avinu was passing away, and he wanted to give a bracha to his children, so there's a very interesting language in the Medrash. It says, when Yaakov Avinu was about to pass away, he calls his 12 children, and he says, you know, maybe you guys are angry. Because I know, you know, maybe you're angry at Hashem, because, you know, you had a tough life. You had to go through the hunger. You had to fight with your brother and everything. You had a lot of travails that you guys went through. So, you know, I'm tight with Hashem, but what about you guys? Are you guys angry at Hashem, you know, now before he's dying? He wants to find out where they stand. So they said to him, Shema Yisrael. Shema Yisrael. Yisrael is Yaakov, right? Yisrael and Yaakov was the same person. Shema Yisrael. This is the meaning of the pasuk. Shema Yisrael. Yisrael, listen. Hashem Elokeinu. Hashem Echad. Hashem Elokeinu, our God, we're all together. We have no tightness on Hashem. Everything that happened, happened for a reason. We're okay with that. We're all one. We're all one, united, and we're all one with you. We believe in the same Hashem. We have no arguments with Hashem. And then listen what the Medrash says, and I believe that's why we do a certain thing. I believe because of this Medrash. Afu Piresh Besvosav. Yaakov said with his lips, oh, he heard his children say, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad, we're all one. And I said, why do we say it quietly? So the Gemara Pesachim has a reason. I believe there's an additional reason. Because the first time we find this pasuk over here, we find that Yaakov said it with his lips. What does that mean? He didn't say it out loud. He said it quietly. He muttered it because he was so grateful. That's why after we say Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad, which the children said to Yaakov, we do what Yaakov did. We say it with our lips. We say, Baruch Shem Kavod Malchus Eliyahu Mvoed. So if we are really one, why do we sometimes not get along with each other? Why are there so many fights in Klal Yisrael? Why are there so many people that feel they're better than others? And I believe it comes from three reasons. One, we don't feel a responsibility to each other. We have to learn to feel an achrayus for somebody else's pain. Two, many times we feel the other guy's not so important. Well, I'm going to give time to that person or that lady. She's not so special. You know, special people, I'll give my time. Well, what do they do? They're not so special. So sometimes when you look down at other people, you don't want to get involved with their problems. And the third thing and the worst is because many times we feel that we're the most important. We're God's gift to mankind. And when a person feels that way, then he has no time for anybody. So I want to show you something, a remarkable thing. The word Yisrael, which means Klal Yisrael, right? You know what it stands for? The Zohar says it. And it's appropriate in a Sephardic place to speak about the Zohar. The Zohar says, you know what Yisrael stands for? Yesh Shishim Ribui Oisiois La Torah. There are 600,000 letters in the Torah. That's what the word Yisrael stands for. 600,000 letters. Why 600,000? Because there were 600,000 men that left Mitzrayim. So that means every one of us, that's a descendant from those 600,000, each one of us has a letter that's ours in the Torah. Every man and woman has a letter in the Torah that's theirs, because you're the descendants from one of those 600,000 that left Mitzrayim. And they had a letter, so we have that letter. That's our letter in the Torah. So I want to show you now three amazing things. Imagine if you came this morning to shul. During Shacharis, they're laning, right? And one letter is missing in the whole Torah. Hundreds of thousands of letters. One letter is missing. The whole Torah is puzzle. You have to take the Torah, put that back, get it fixed, but you can't use it. One letter, what do you mean? You've got hundreds of thousands that are perfect. One letter is missing, the whole Torah is puzzle. You know what that teaches me? That if there's one Yid in Klal Yisrael that's not fulfilling his role of what a Jew is all about, that's a question on Klal Yisrael. Kiruv, welcoming our brothers and sisters, is not only for Eish HaTorah. It's not only for our Sameach. It's not only for the professional Kiruv organizations. You have a cousin, you have a neighbor, you have a co-worker that's Jewish, and they're not frum, they're not religious. It's our responsibility. Because if there's one letter missing in the Torah, the whole Torah is puzzle. There's one Jew that's missing, so it's a kasha on us. We're not perfect. Here's the second thing. Isn't it amazing that no two letters can overlap? No two letters can touch each other. You have an aleph and a beis next to each other in the Torah, and they touch each other, the whole Sefer Torah is puzzle. All the letters are perfect, but two letters touch each other, it's puzzle. What's the lesson with that? You know what the lesson with that is? We each stand alone. Every one of us can accomplish something that nobody else can do. I can't do what you can do, you can't do what I can do, and both of us can't do what he can do. Every person is important. Every person has to feel they were created. Never before has a person been created like them. And never till Mashiach will somebody be created like you. With your background and your mindset and your intelligence and your mix of talents, nobody has ever been created like you. So everybody's choshev. That's why there's no overlap. Because no two people can overlap. Everybody's got a role to fulfill. And then there's a third lesson in the Torah. Isn't it incredible that in the whole Torah, not like in the English language, in the English language you have a word a book, a car, a chair. You have I go, I do, I think. In the whole Torah, there's not one word that's only one letter. Isn't that amazing? You know why? Because nobody can do it alone. All letters all together. Of course we stand alone. Of course we have a role to fulfill. But you can't live in a vacuum. We all need each other. Everybody needs somebody else. That's what Achdus is all about. To know that if there's one letter missing, it's a kash on all of us. If anybody thinks they overlap, nobody overlaps, because nobody can do it like you can do it. And the third thing is, nobody can do it alone. We don't live in a vacuum. That's the purpose of a shul. That's the purpose of a family. Why did Hashem make that people have to get married? You know why? Because no man can do it alone. No woman can do it alone. Ezer Kenegda means a helpmate alongside. And when a person comes to a shul, that's what a shul does. A shul is not just a certain amount of members. It's a kahila. They work together. When they work together, they can accomplish 10 times more than what they would have accomplished had they tried to do it alone. Now I want to tell you something. I'm embarrassed as anything to tell you this. But I'm going to tell it to you anyway. Because I think it's very important. Now I know that my wife is on my case that I should lose some weight. And it's true. I did lose for a while, but my grandson's my mitzvah. I look much better than I look today. But you know what happens afterwards. But anyway, okay, good. I'll lose the weight. I'll try. But anyway. So recently, before, you know, when my wife was really on my case, so I went to my doctor. He's a local guy, a Frum guy. He lives here in Kew Garden Hills. I'm not going to mention his name. But anyway, so you know how the nurse takes your chart, right? And it gives you chart, and you know, she's weighing you, and she gives the chart to the doctor. Yeah, I knew he was going to get after me, because the last time I was there, I didn't weigh that amount. So he's looking at the chart and looking at me, and I'm thinking to myself, what is he going to say that's going to make a difference to me? I'm just trying to think one step ahead. What is he going to say to me? Now, I know what he wants to say. And I know that he's upset. And he has every right to be upset. But what is he going to say to make an impression? And the guy said three words. I'm telling you, it was unbelievable. He looks at me straight in the face. And he says, "We need you." Oh my gosh, I get the chills even though when I think about it. I lost 7 pounds that week. See, but I didn't go to him the next week. That was the problem. But could you imagine? It was brilliant. Could you imagine if everybody in Klal Yisrael felt, "We need you"? Oh, of course you're going to take care of yourself. You're not going to do any dumb things. You're not going to drive quickly. You're not going to go to sleep late. You're not going to eat unhealthy. Klal Yisrael needs you. It's unbelievable. And the truth is that we need every person in Klal Yisrael. And that's why you have to take care of yourself. And that's how Achdus happens. If I really believe that we need every Yid in Klal Yisrael, I'd be so nice to everybody. And if everybody believed that they need me, everybody would be nice to me. That's how you have to look at it. We need every single person. Every person can be a mashpia. Every person can be an influence on other people. No matter what your background is. If you're accomplishing something, you're doing something, you're acting in a certain way, you're dominant in a certain way, you can have an influence on somebody. So Klal Yisrael really needs you. I'll tell you an amazing thing. The Chofetz Chaim once had a great voice. The Chofetz Chaim said, you know, we say the bracha, Boirei Nefoshes, right? Hashem creates many living beings. Now, every time you have water or you eat something that, you know, you didn't make hamotzis, so you're not benching, but you're saying Boirei Nefoshes. So listen to this. He says, Boirei Nefoshes Rabbis, Hashem created many living beings, v'chesroinon, and their deficiencies. So the Chofetz Chaim says, why did God make us with deficiencies? Truth is, I know nothing about chemistry. I can't draw to save my life. But wouldn't it be great if we could all do everything? We were all math wizards, we all knew shas, and we all could draw, and we could all be brilliant. Wouldn't that be great? Why did Hashem make us with deficiencies? Boirei Nefoshes Rabbis, Hashem created many nefoshes, many souls, v'chesroinon, and their deficiencies. Oh, listen to this. He says the answer is right in the bracha. You know why? Because you know what it says in the bracha? L'hachyos bohem nefesh kol choy, to maintain the life of every being. In other words, you have a Rebbe. He's a teacher, but he needs clothes. He's got to go to the tailor. The tailor needs food. He's got to go to the grocer. The grocer needs his child to be educated. He's got to go back to the Rebbe. So the reason that Hashem makes us imperfect is so that we all need each other. I'm so glad not everybody's a moyel, right? Otherwise, what kind of parnasa would I have? And I'm sure Rabbi Newman is so happy that not everybody's a principal, right? Because otherwise, what kind of job would he have? And Rabbi Ginian is happy, he's so happy, not everybody's smart as he is and being a Rav, because otherwise you wouldn't need a Rav. So everybody is deficient in certain ways so that we should be dependent on each other. So the chasorin that Hashem gives us is so that there should be a unity in this world. Now, one of the things that we have to be so careful, of course we have to reach out to other people. But you know, there's a very interesting pasuk and a very interesting Rashi. And it's so important in a community to know this. Because many times there are people in the community that need a favor. I was in a community this afternoon. The guy's mother passed away. The guy was in shul. Guy came home, he found his mother dead. Nebuch, what a terrible thing. He needed people to go over to him. He needs people to be with him until he can get to his family. Sometimes a person in a community, he lost his job. And he needs money. And right now he's got to send his kids to school. He's got to pay tuition. Other people in the shul have money. He doesn't have it. Sometimes, Nerach, in the community, there's a widow or a guy who's divorced and he's alone. And he needs a place for Shabbos. Well, the widow wants to be with somebody. She's alone. So listen to what the pasuk says. In kesef talve es ami. If you are going to lend money to the people of my nation, as an oni imach, the oni that is with you. So Rashi says, the pasuk in Shmoyz Chav Beis Chav Dalet, it's like extra, the oni with you. It says, you lend people to poor people. You lend money to poor people. What does it say? The oni with you. So Rashi says, you know what imach means? Have a mistakel ba'atzmach. Look at yourself, ki'ilo at oni, as if you're the person. You're the poor person. Everybody wants to help somebody else. But don't forget, when you help somebody else, he's not your esrik. She's not your lulav. that you're just doing a mitzvah. You know, some people, when you invite somebody, you make them feel, ah, you know, they're in stalker case, so you're going to invite them, and they feel like 2 cents. You know how you make somebody feel like 2 cents when you invite them Friday afternoon? I'll tell you something that happened to me. Again, I'm embarrassed to tell you, but I'm going to tell it to you anyway, because I think it's a great lesson. There used to be a guy, I used to invite him all the time for Shabbos. Then he stopped coming. So it was months that he stopped coming, and then one time he came to Sukkos. Sukkos at night. So we were sitting in the sukkah, was ready after the meal, and I said to him, you know, I want to ask you something. I hope you don't mind my asking. He said, you know, you always used to come to me for Shabbos. How come you don't come anymore for Shabbos? He says, you really want to know? Oh, when he said, you really want to know, I know I was in for it. I said, yeah, I'm ready. He says, okay, I'll tell you. He says, what chutzpah do you have to invite me Friday night when you see me in shul? What do you think? I didn't know that the Shabbos is coming? You don't think I made jolt or I got challah, I put wine? What do you think? Because you feel bad for me Friday night? So you're going to do a mitzvah and you're going to invite me. If you cared about me, you'd call me Monday or Tuesday. He was right. I mean, I apologize. Oh, you see a guy, okay, let's say somebody comes from a different neighborhood, never, he has to be in a hospital or whatever, his family's in the hospital, he walked in Friday afternoon, you don't know the guy, that's different, you're invited Friday night. But somebody in your neighborhood, a woman that's alone, a young girl that's alone, a young man that's alone, you don't invite her Friday. They're preparing already for Shabbos. It's her only imach, you got to make that person feel special. You know when you invite somebody to the Purim Suda? Tonight, when you go home, think, who should I have at my Purim Suda? That's not going to have their own suitor. Don't invite him 3 days before Purim. Because by that time, that guy's already thinking where he's going to be. And he's probably made some plans. So maybe he'll come to you because yours is the better choice, but he feels like 2 cents. Why, at the last minute, they think of me? When you have a shul, when you have a community, you have to think of each other as if that person that has that problem is you. So that you do whatever you do for that person with sensitivity. Before Pesach. A lot of people don't have money today. You go to a grocery store. You know what a great thing to do? You go to a grocery store. I know we do it in our neighborhood in Rosenblum's. Some people have bills, hundreds and hundreds of dollars. You want to give a family money. No, but they feel very uncomfortable. If you go to the store and you say to this fellow behind the counter, listen, see that bill they got $700? Here's $200. Don't even tell them anything. Just take it off. They'll never know the difference anyway. So by us, this Rosenblum, you know how much money? It's unbelievable. In that box that he has, that people owe money, there must be over $70,000. Could you imagine a grocer being owed $70,000? So if you give him money, he says, look, I don't want to play God. I'm not giving out that. You tell me who you want. But that's a way, Bederach Kavod, that's a way of, a sensitive way of helping somebody. A person doesn't want to feel that they're poverty stricken. If you go to shul, you go to the store and you pay their bill, and the guy doesn't say, and the bill is so big they don't even know the difference, that's edelkeit, that's sensitive. You don't need the big yashikoyach, that you are the big, Hashem keeps the score card. Don't worry, you don't need that recognition from that family. I'll tell you an amazing thing. There was a great tzaddik, he was the mashgiach of the Chevron Yeshiva, and I'm I knew him, and I know his son very well, Rav Moshe Chodesh, but the great tzaddik was Rav Meir Chodesh. Listen to this, you'll see what it means, sensitivity. So Rav Meir Chodesh was an old man already. This was his final illness. And he had, you know, he was in the hospital. So the doctors, anytime the doctors would come in, he always said, I want a family member here. I don't want to be alone. But, you know, I may forget what the doctors say, and I may not take the right prescription or whatever, my things to do. One time a young medic comes in, and he says he's got to take blood from the rabbi. So Rav Meir Chodesh sends everybody out. So the children thought that maybe he like lost it because... just the opposite. He always wanted people in anytime they did a medical procedure. So they said, Tata, I thought you wanted everybody out. Okay, he's insisting. Well, what are they going to do? I mean, it's the opposite of what he's been saying the whole time, but okay. The young guy takes the blood or whatever. He comes out after 5 minutes, and they all come in, and they say to him, I thought you always wanted that we should be there. Listen to what he said. He said, you see, my veins, it's very difficult to take blood from an old man. Did you see that medic? He's a young guy. He probably has no experience, very little experience. You know how many times he's going to have to pinch and poke me until he gets it right? Imagine how embarrassed he would have been in front of all of you, pinching and poking me until he finds the right vein to take the blood. What would you and I do? We would throw the guy out. Don't give me a guy like that. Give me a guy with experience. But that's not what he's doing. He has rachmanis on this guy who's going to be embarrassed because he's pinching and poking him until he can get it right. That's it. So ani ima. Who would think of that? A person who's a chayla, a person who's not well, is thinking about himself. He's not thinking about the young medic. One of the things that we have to learn is to daven for each other. This is one of the things that I spoke this morning in the shul that I was in. And Rabbi Hertz's shul, the Utopia Jewish Center, and I believe it's so important to mention in every single shul. Did it ever occur to anybody that the middle part of Shemon Esrei is Lashon Rabbim, is plural. Hashiveinu, return us. Slach Lanu, forgive us. Rifa'enu, heal us. Shmakaleinu, listen to us. Borech Aleinu, bless us. And all we do is think about ourselves. When you're in a tzibur means that we're all together. And everybody's got problems. And you're not allowed to daven a Shemon Esrei without thinking of other people. And you know, there's a Gemara. The Gemara tells us that anybody who davens kol hamavake shirachem al chaveira v'hut zarech la'isa davar hunen atchila. You daven for somebody else and you need that thing, you're going to be answered first. A story that I wrote in the Bris Mila book when I wrote it for Oscar, and I tell this every place I go because there's not enough times that you can tell the story. I was in Merrick, Long Island, and there was a woman after the Bris, I was cleaning up, she was crying. You feel bad, a lady's crying. I went over there, I said, why are you crying? And she said, she didn't want to talk about it. So I said, listen, if you talk about it, first of all, you never know where you get advice. And second of all, who knows, you might get a solution. She says, okay, Rabbi, you tell me. This is my best friend. You're doing, this is the third boy you're doing for this family. What does God want from me? Why can't I have any children? I felt so bad. What in the world was I going to tell this lady? So I said, I want to tell you something. And I want you to listen to me because it's not my advice. It's the advice of the great rabbis of the Talmud. Couldn't even say Gemara because she didn't know what a Gemara was. And I said, the Talmud teaches us that if you have a problem, whatever it is, daven for somebody else. And you'll see you'll be answered first. I said, you don't have to tell me your problem. It's not my business. But go to your doctor and find out what the problem is. You know what the problem is. Find somebody. He'll tell you somebody who's got that problem and pray for them. I took her name, her mother's name, told her to give tzedakah, and I forgot about the story. A year later, this lady calls me up. She says, Rabbi Kron, do you remember who I am? I said, I'm sorry. I see people every day. She says, I'm that lady in Merrick, Long Island, that was crying in the kitchen, remember? I said, yes, and why are you calling? She said, I'm calling from North Shore. Today, I want you to know, today I had a boy. From that day on, every day I prayed for somebody who had that problem, and today I had a boy. And I said to her, I can't believe it. You made my day. She said to me words I'll never forget. She said, Rabbi, I may have made your day, but you made my life. And that bris and the bris that I did for her 2 years later were from the greatest that I ever did. And I feel so bad when you told that story that I didn't tell this to that guy. You got to get me his number if you know him. Because I'll give him that advice. I don't know why I didn't tell it to him at that time. But that's what it's all about. Shemay Nesra is davening for each other. A tzibur, a shul is davening for each other. We are now bound together as we build this chelik hamikdash together. We have to feel the pain of each other. Rav Chaim Elojana and the Nefesh HaChaim, he writes in the Hagamah, his son writes that my father always used to criticize me when I didn't get involved in the problems of others. And he told me three words, and I believe these three words should be in every shul and every school and every home. The three words in Hebrew are Loi La'atzmoi Nivra. You are not created for yourself. God didn't create you so that you should become big and famous. God created you so that you should give out to others. So whatever talent you have, give it out to other people. That's why we were created with different talents. I'll tell you something that happened with me. You know, I had a very difficult time. I used to think, you know, you're famous, you wrote books, you make speeches or whatever. Shidduchim is a tough parsha. When you're trying to marry off your daughters, it doesn't make a difference who you are. It's difficult. So I decided, one of my daughters, I was having a real hard time. So I decided that, you know what? Maybe Hashem is upset with me because all I'm doing is worrying about my daughters. So I made a book. And every single time, I kept a notebook, every single time I made a call for my daughter, I made a call for somebody else's daughter or somebody else's son that was in Shidduchim. Trying to network, you know, sometimes the Baal HaTshuva, but they don't have a network. right? They don't know all the many people because now their family, they can't go back to their family. The family, they're not marrying off those type of people, right? Within 2 months, my daughter was engaged. I'm telling it to you not to show off. I'm telling it to you because that's what you should do. Because when you begin to think of other people, amazing things happen in life. No matter what problem, whether it's shalom bayis, whether it's shidduchim, whether it's finances, you think of other people, then Hashem begins to think of you. I want to tell you something, magnificent story. What does it mean to be sensitive? This story happened in Long Island. The place doesn't want I should say where it happened, so fine, I'll honor that. It's a pizza shop, Chol Yisrael pizza shop. And place is crowded, it's Long Island, not too many Chol Yisrael pizza shops, so all the frum guys and the women, men and women, whoever is doing business out there, you know, they come there for lunch. So one day, a guy walks in, nice trim beard, and he walks up to the counter, and the place is packed, and he wants to order a pizza. And as he's about to order, he says to the lady behind the counter, says, "That Paul?" So goyish guy behind the counter, he was flipping pizzas. She says, "Yeah, that's Paul." He says, "I have to speak to him." "But you can't speak to him now because, you know, it's at, see how crowded this place is?" He says, "No, I have to speak to him right now." Oh, he raises his voice and everybody's turning around. So this lady realized this guy's not going away so fast. So she calls over Paul. She says, "Paul, this guy wants to talk to you." So now everybody's quiet and they're watching what's going on here. So this guy says, "Paul, you recognize me?" He said, "No, I don't think I ever saw you." He says, "Paul, take a good look at me. You don't recognize me?" He says, "No, I don't think I ever saw you." He says, "Paul, you remember you used to work..." Well, I'm not going to use the word Shimon's because, you know, everybody will think it's Shimon's pizza, but it's not. But let's say Naftali's pizza, right? "Remember you used to work at Naftali's pizza? Why didn't you tell everybody why you got fired from Naftali's pizza shop?" Oh, now this guy gets angry. He says, "You know why I got fired? Because those Jews didn't trust me. They said I stole $300. I didn't take a penny. Those Jews, they didn't trust me. I'm a family man. I would not have taken any money." So the guy says, "Paul, take a look at me." He said, "You don't recognize me. See, I'm a Baal Tshuva. You don't know what a Baal Tshuva means. When I was working with you at Naftali's pizza shop, I had hair down to my shoulders. Paul, I'm the guy that took the money. I've been looking for you for 3 years, trying to find you to pay you back." And Paul starts crying. He says, "You don't owe me the money. You owe it to the owner. I paid him a long time ago. But I know you lost a job and couldn't get a job anyplace else because of me. And I'm sorry." That's what a Baal Tshuva is. Baal Tshuva is somebody who's repenting, who says that he's sorry. And you know something? Many times in a shul, when a community gets together, you do something, you say something to another person in the shul, and you forget about it, but that person is hurt. You go over, you say good Shabbos to everybody, but the guy in the back, you know, he also wants to be, feel special. One of the most remarkable things I ever saw, I only saw this once, but I don't know, maybe I just didn't pay more attention. Erev Yom Kippur, I'll never forget, in the Young Israel of West Hempstead, the Gaboyim got up right before, it was near the end by Aleinu. I couldn't get over this. I had a priest there, Erev Yom Kippur. So right before Aleinu, the two Gaboyim, they get up at the Bima, and they say, "Raboisan, it's before Yom Kippur. We both, the Gaboyim, we want to ask you for forgiveness. Because maybe we were supposed to give you an Aliyah, and we didn't really give it to you. And maybe you brought a guest and we didn't notice him. So it's before Yom Kippur and we ask it for forgiveness." I couldn't get over that. What a beautiful gesture. But the truth is, we don't have to worry. We don't have to wait till Yom Kippur. Sometimes you say something to somebody in a shul, you're impatient, you want the omid, or, you know, you feel that the rabbi should have given you a certain kavod and he didn't give it, and you get upset. You have to talk things out. That's what the rabbi is there for. Bring things to the rabbi so a shul doesn't fester with arguments. So many shuls, Rahmana Litzlan, are broken up over the years because of machlokes. It doesn't have to be that way. If something is going wrong, you bring it to the rabbi right away. That's what achdus is all about. That's what unity is all about. I'll tell you a great story. Again, I'm embarrassed to tell you this story, but I don't know why I do these things. But anyway, because I think there's a great lesson here. And I want to show you something. Wherever I go, I take my camera, usually. I have over 120 albums in my house. Of course, now everything's digital and everything's on the computer, so there's no more albums, there's no more nothing, whatever, it's changed. But when this story took place, wherever I went, I took my camera. So I remember one time, I was in Eretz Yisrael. As Eretz Yisrael for Sukkot, it's the greatest time in the world to go there. Just so every night is so special. The nights before Sukkot and the streets, they're selling ulavim and asorgim and Meir Sharim and Gula. It's the greatest scene in the world. So every night during Chol HaMoed, they have Simchas Beis HaShe'eva. Simchas Beis HaShe'eva, that means that I have like dancing and singing in all the different synagogues. And it's great. So I have a son-in-law who learned in one certain yeshiva. And I don't want you to try to figure out which Rosh Yeshiva this is, because it doesn't really make a difference. And he said, you know, let's go to that place. And I said, I'd love to go, because I heard that Rosh Yeshiva might be speaking that night. And I know him for many years. I give money to his yeshiva, because after all, my son-in-law had studied there. And we go in. That place was mobbed, singing, dancing, kids and bleachers. Everybody was unbelievable. Now, of course, I had my camera with me. And I walked up to where the Rosh Yeshiva was standing. Now, I still don't know till this day, because things happen so fast, whether I picked up my camera to take a picture of him or I just had it in my side. But all I know is in a second, he jumped up and he started yelling at me in Yiddish, "What's not in the building? What are you taking pictures? Who did you hit with your camera? Get out of here with your camera." Man, I thought, I wish that it would be like Koyrach, the floor would open, I'd fall in, he'd cover me up and finish. I mean, I still don't know till this day if he was angry because he held you not allowed to take a picture of Chol HaMoed, or if he didn't want anybody to take a picture of him. All I know is I couldn't wait to get out of there. I was so hurt. I was so humiliated. I didn't talk about it for a year. I couldn't even tell my wife because I was just so humiliated in front of everybody. Yelling. I thought he knew. He knew who I am. I gave him money, for God's sakes, right? I mean, I did not know who I was. But anyway, but maybe the camera just ticked him off or whatever. Fine. The next year we go back to Eretz Yisrael. We used to go every year because the kids were in seminary, kids were in yeshiva. And my son-in-law, of course, I didn't tell him this. You know, he didn't see it happen. So he says, you know, Tom, maybe you want to go back. We'll go back to that yeshiva. I said, I'm a little tired tonight, you know. I don't know if I want to go. But I said, I'll tell you what. I'll take you. You want to go? I'll drop you off. And, you know, call me when you want to come home or else you get a cab. But, you know, I don't really want to go there. So, you know, he goes in and I tell him, listen, if the Rosh Yeshiva's there, so you'll stay there, right? And if not, so you'll come and I'll take you home. He comes back 2 minutes later, says the Rosh Yeshiva's there. Fine, so he goes in. Now, I'm sitting in the car. I'm about to leave. Now I've got my camera sitting next to me again. And then I think to myself, you know, I shouldn't be a baby. See, it says in the Gemara that if you can't go to the Beis HaMikdash on Yontif, then you go to the great Rabbanim and you get a blessing from them. So I figured, you know what? He's a great man. The truth is, okay, so he got angry. What's the difference? But he is a great man. I'll just go in. I'll say good Yontif, get a blessing from him. I'll stick my camera underneath my car seat. You know, nobody's going to even see that I have the camera. And I'll go in. Okay, it took all my courage to do that. I put the camera underneath, made sure the lights were closed, right? And I locked the doors, you know, 4 times. Nobody's going to even know that I even thought of bringing a camera. And I walk in. Place again is mob. They're singing and dancing. And the Rosh Hashiva is dancing with everybody. So, of course, I wasn't going to dance with them, right? And I didn't even know the whole staff. So there's no point in joining. And then he sits down. And he sits down. And, you know, everybody's standing around him. They're watching him breathe. I don't know what they're looking at. Everybody's watching him breathe. Just standing around. So I just think, you know, I'll just stand on the side. I'll wait till he, you know, sees me. I'm just the yontif, and then I'm out of here. Yeah, I'm waiting, you know, nervous like anything. And he's sitting over there. All of a sudden, he turns, and he sees me. And he jumps up, and he says in Yiddish, "I've been waiting for you." I think, oh, my gosh, what's he waiting for? I'm like, where's the gun, you know? And he says, come to me. He says, the Rambam says, now everybody's watching. The Rambam says, where you did the Avera, where you did the sin, that's where you have to do the tshuva. That's where you have to repent. I embarrassed you here last year. I'm so sorry. Tell me that you forgive me. I mean, I was speechless. And for me to be speechless is a great accomplishment. I could not believe it. He said, sit down. And he's pulling me to sit next to him. I said, Rosh Yeshiva, how could you remember? I remember. But how could you remember? He says, I know you were here in the summer. I called for you and you didn't come to my house. The truth is, he did call for me. I don't know how he knew I was there. I thought he wanted the money. I wasn't going to go there, right? I couldn't believe that he was calling back. Maybe he was still angry. So I said to him, Rosh Hashiva, if it wasn't a Beis Medrash, I'd give you a kiss. I just can't believe. He said, listen, tell me that you're Mechamri. Tell me that you forgive me. I said, of course I forgive you. You know, that's no question. I'm so humbled and honored that you even remembered. He says, listen, tomorrow night I'm making something in my sukkah. You got to come next to me and you got to be there and you got to promise me you're going to be there. And then I realized that's what a great person is. A great person can say, I made a mistake. And sometimes in a shul, you have to be able to say, I made a mistake. You're dealing with a tzibur. You're dealing with a lot of people. Everybody is sensitive in a different way. Not everybody has your sense of humor. Not everybody has your feelings. Not everybody has your priorities. As the tzibur gets bigger and bigger and you get more important in the shul, sometimes you lash out at somebody. You have no patience with somebody. A shul can only grow when there's achdus. A shul can only grow when somebody can say, I made a mistake. I did something wrong. I'm sorry. I apologize. A shul can only grow when you're trying to help somebody else and you make them feel special while you're trying to help them. Not that you make them feel like a stalker case. You know, it's a very interesting Rashi. Rashi tells us that when Moshe Rabbeinu realized that he was going to pass away, he said to Hashem, Hashem, appoint the leader. But he added some extra words. In Bamidbar of Zion, Pasuk de Zion, it says, Yifrei Hashem alekei haruchais l'chol bosar ish al ha'ida. Hashem, you who are the master of all living souls, appoint somebody on the community. So Rashi is bothered. Why did he say, Hashem, you who are the master of all living souls? He should have said, you, Hashem, appoint somebody. Why did he add those extra words? Rashi gives us now the key to leadership, the key to friendship, and the key to parenthood. Listen to this Rashi, this fabulous Rashi, in Bamidbar Chof Zayin Tes Zayin. And he says like this, Om Alefonov, Hashem, Moshe Rabbeinu said, Rabbeinu Shalom, Golu V'yadu Alefonecha, you know, Das Shel Kol Echad Bechad, you know the mindset of every person. The Ein Adam is Ella said, no two people think alike. Mana Alehem Manik, appoint a leader, that I'll be able to tolerate every person according to his mindset. That's what a great rabbi is. That's what a great friend is. That's what a great parent is. That's what a great teacher is. That's what a great principal is. To know that we all think different. You got to be able to tolerate everybody. You have to be soivel kol echad ve'echad. That's why Moshe Rabbeinu added these words. Hashem, you are okay. Ruchas kol bosa. You know the mindsets are different. Right? So we don't need that book. Men are from Yerushalayim and women are from Bnei Brak, if you know what I mean. Right? Moshe Rabbeinu taught it to us himself. That everybody's different. And that's what it's all about. So I just want to end just with this thought. We all know that certainly Sephardim are very careful to say Korbanot and Pitum HaKtoiras. And we talk about the various spices in the Torah, various spices that are given as a korban in the Beis HaMikdash. And there's one spice that smells terrible, and that's the chelbana. And the Medrash asks, the chelbana, reyach ra, the chelbana has a bad odor, and still we put it in. We put it in into all the spices. And it comes to teach us, she'ein lono v'hokel b'rushayim. You can't do away with those people that are not religious. You can't do away with those people that are not yet doing mitzvahs. Shaloi, that they shouldn't be in our fast and in our prayers. The chelbana is there for a reason. As a matter of fact, it's written in the Zohar HaKadosh, and he writes that anybody who says the Pitum HaKtoiras every day and concentrates on it, nothing bad will happen to him that day. And I was wondering, why is that special? And I believe this is the reason that it's special. Because I think the Zohar HaKadosh is trying to tell us, you got to love every Jew. Even if he's not religious yet, and even if he doesn't do any mitzvot yet, he's still your brother, he's still your sister. That's why the chelbana is all involved in there. As a matter of fact, before Kol Nidre on Yom Kippur, we say, Al Das HaMokem, Al Das HaKol, we ask Hashem, B'Yeshiva Shemala, B'Yeshiva Shemata, Ono Matirin, L'Hispalel Im HaPrayonim, we're davening even with those that have transgressed. Because we're all in it together. And you know, I want to tell you an amazing thing. You know what the Tzibur stands for? Tzadik, Beis, Vav, Reish. You won't believe this. Tzadikim, Beinanim, V'Rishayim. Tzadikim are the righteous. The Beinanim are the middle. And even the Rishayim, they're all part of the Tzibur. It's all part of Klal Yisrael. So many people who are not performing mitzvahs, they didn't have the teachers you had. They didn't have the parents you had. They didn't have the Rebbes or the Moras that you had. So many of them, it's not their fault. And many people are looking to come back. And that's what a shul has to have. A shul has to have an open door and to welcome people. So I just want to end just with this thought. I remember, do you guys say Shia Shirim Friday afternoon in shul? Quietly. Individuals. So I know that in the Sephardic shuls in Israel, well, this is American Sephardic shul, but in Israel, many of the Sephardic shuls, they say Shira Shirim. And they say it with a tune. It's so beautiful. I remember the first time that I heard it in the Bukharian section in Yerushalayim. It was incredible how the kids were singing it out loud with all the with the fathers, of course, in shul. It was magnificent. So it's very beautiful. I remember my mother used to tell us we should say it every Friday. I try to say it every Friday before Kabbalah Shabbos after Mincha. And the last phrase in Shir HaShirim is, it's in Perek Ches, Pasuk Yudal, Brach Doidi, my friend, run, we're talking to Hashem, U'dumeloch L'tzvi, and become like a deer, or L'oifer, like a young, swift gazelle, U'ayolim, Al-Horei B'Samim, come and take us to the mountain of spices. What is the mountain of spices? That's the Beis HaMikdash, the mountain where we bring all the spices. And we're asking Hashem at the end of Shir HaShirim, Hashem, please come and redeem us and take us to the Horeb Summit, to the Mountain of Spices. So I was wondering, why is the Beis HaMikdash called the Mountain of Spices? So B'Samim, you can read it B'Shamayim also, it's the highest. But B'Samim, I believe, that's the spices. That's the spices even with the Chalbana, even with the one that's not perfect. And that's what we're saying to Hashem. You know what the ultimate Beis HaMikdash is going to be? The Beis HaMikdash is going to include everybody. Mashiach is going to have an open arm for everyone, because not everyone had the same opportunities. So let's remember, we are all one. We're building a Beis HaMikdash together. You're building Tiferes Yigal, but it's not just Tiferes Yigal, a shul in Golis in America. It's now going to be a chelik of the Beis HaMikdash. You have to treat it with care. You have to know that you have to build it and be unified. Yisrael, Yeshishim, Ribu, Oseh, Slatayra, we're all together. We're all a letter. If one letter is missing, then the whole Kasha, then the whole Klal Yisrael is possible. We don't overlap. We each have a role to fill, but we can't live in a vacuum. We don't live in a vacuum. There's no word in the Torah that's only one letter. Let's remember Imach. Remember that even if you help somebody, you have to help them in such a way that they feel chashav, they feel important. Now's the time to invite for the Seder of Pesach. Now's the time to invite for the Purim Suda. You do it in advance, you make the person feel special. Not that you do it in the last minute. And let's remember the middle part of Shema Netzra. We're always davening for other people. If you're davening for other people and you need that thing, Hashem's going to make sure that you get answered first. And at Tzibur, many things happen. You have to be able to say, I'm sorry. You have to be able to say, I made a mistake. I did something wrong. And then you bring it to the Rav, and the Rav will put it all together. And finally, let's remember that we have to be all-inclusive. Even the chelbana is part of the carbon of the spices of the Beis HaMikdash. Hashem should help. The Tiferes Yigal should build and grow together with the Rav and all the family together. Should grow to heights, spiritual heights, great heights. Should be able to go together to Mashiach, Ashkenazim, Sfardim, all kinds of Jews. We'll all go to Yerushalayim, Erech HaKodesh, Meher, V'Yameinu. Thank you for inviting me. Thank you.